Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sports Scene. I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and this is my co-host,
Harvey Owen.
All right, Clarence, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. I'm doing good. All right, people. All right, yo, fellas and ladies, about to break down what we're gonna have on the show today. Today, we're gonna be discussing college football last weekend and upcoming weekend in college football. Also, the NFL season, you know, things breaking down last weekend, and also the upcoming games and the game that was played last night against the Colts and the Houston Texans. And also, a little NBA action, man. We can't not give you what we started. We started doing NBA. That's our main thing. But we're going to give you more sports news. All right, man, so let's start with the game tonight, man. Houston Texans versus Indianapolis Colts, man. Colts pulled out. Matt Hasselbeck, 4 years old, showed up. 2 touchdowns. Frank Gore showed up, ran the ball, 32. Andre Johnson, 34 years old, showed up. 2 touchdowns. Man, it was an old man's game today. Grumpy old men today, man. They pulled it out. Ryan Mallett got knocked around a little bit, stepped out the game. Brian Hoyer came in and started throwing the ball pretty well. And O'Brien went with Hoyer for the rest of the game. Hoyer ended up throwing a pick. Listen, I wouldn't play Brian Hoyer if it was between him and Byron Leftwich.
Well, you gotta look at Brian
Hoyer.
I mean, you gotta look at Brian Hoyer's stats for tonight. He was 24 for 31 for 312 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he did have an interception in the game. So he played a decent game. He got the ball around. DeAndre Hopkins had 11 catches for 169 yards. So he got the ball around. But, yeah, I would rather stick, if I was him, I would want to stick with one quarterback. I mean, he chose Hoyer first, then he went to Mallett. Now it seems like he backed to Hoyer. I would rather play Mallett than Hoyer, but, you know, he's the coach of the team, so they just got to go with what he sees fit. But, yeah, I would rather see Mallett playing than Hoyer.
Yeah, man, you know, if you can't pick a quarterback, I can't trust you as a coach. It's like you can't pick between two women. You got to pick one. I mean, the indecisive man, I just can't roll with it, man. He just coaches like that. I just can't stick with it. But hey, man, let's get to the college, man. After we broke down the game, man, I just want to discuss the game. I know people finished watching it and they want to show us some love. We want to give a piece of the game. The Colts are 3-2. Texans are the Texans, but I mean that's the gist of it. That's the NFC South, one of the worst divisions in football. So, I mean, ain't no more I can give you than that. But man, last weekend I told you Alabama was gonna put that whooping on Georgia. I may have said Texas was gonna upset, you know, but I made a mistake. TCU, but man, Alabama, listen, I don't want to play there, man. That's a tough SEC. Regardless of their quarterback play or however, listen, that Ole Miss game may have galvanized that team. Say, look, we're going to focus from here on out, listen to Nick Saban, and put the whooping on everybody at SEC. How you feel about these games last weekend and Alabama showing up?
Well, as far as Alabama go, I mean, Alabama's always going to be a tough out. I mean, anytime you play a Nick Saban team, they're going to be well prepared. That game against Ole Miss just outplayed them that game. But you see Alabama came back this week and went in Georgia and handled their business. I mean, the run game was good. The defense was good, even though Nick Chubb had over 100 yards rushing. Alabama still, that's the only thing they gave up. They gave up the yards to Nick Chubb. But other than that, they shut Georgia down. So I feel like Alabama is on the right track now. Like I said, even though Nick Chubb had 146 yards, 1 touchdown on 20 carries. But other than that, they killed them. So I think Alabama's back on the right track, especially with Ole Miss losing to Florida the way they did. I think Alabama is in the driver's seat for the West to make it to the SEC championship game.
And don't sleep on Texas A&M, man. Texas A&M is starting to play some really good football. Their defense will always be. Someone still got to fix that defense. But, man, the SEC is still tough, man. They're still saying they got it. They may not be a top 5 teams, but by the end of the season, you'll see Alabama in that top 4 or 5. Maybe Texas A&M. Now, the Big Ten was in a little trouble this weekend, man. Ohio State got in trouble with Indiana, and Michigan State got in trouble with IU. I want to know the stat of two number ones being in the same state in the same weekend and struggling. I really would like to know the stat on if that's even a realistic stat or has that ever happened before. But Ohio State struggled against Indiana. In the last couple of seasons, Indiana has given Ohio State a tough game. And Purdue coming back trying to challenge Michigan State. But it all heads, I think the Big Ten is headed towards that if Michigan can beat Northwestern, Northwestern is ranked this weekend. I know I'm jumping ahead of myself. But if Michigan can win this weekend and Michigan State win, and up until they play each other, now that'll be the game to decide the Big Ten to a degree until Michigan plays Ohio State or until Ohio State plays Michigan State. But Big Ten, man, it's starting to get into bigger things, man. You're starting to see the top teams come out, and who would have thought Northwestern to be in that bunch of good teams in the Big Ten?
Well, yeah, the Big Ten right now has 4 good teams, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Northwestern. But, you know, I'm still looking for that great game from Ohio State. Ohio State is not playing fluent. I think Cardale Jones, I think he kind of looking over his shoulder, JT Barrett a little bit, and he's not playing that well. But the running game, Ezekiel Elliott had 23 carries for 279 yards, 3 touchdowns. That would got him over the top. The Indiana team, they might have took him light, but they knew who they were when they left. Because Indiana, they did play good, and they had a backup quarterback coming, and they still almost won the game at the end of the game. If it wasn't for a tip pass end zone, you don't know what would have happened. Michigan State versus Purdue, I mean, they probably just took them Michigan State. They had their running back, Purdue's running back, really, did carry the low. He had 22 rushes for 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he looked all right, but Michigan State, they prevailed in the end. So I think Michigan State and Ohio State are the main 2 teams in the Big Ten, followed by Michigan and Northwestern.
Yeah, don't forget the Mason Blue. The Mason Blue and Northwestern play this weekend. And we're going to head to this week's game, Northwestern versus Michigan, man. That looks like that's going to be a really good game to help decide if Michigan really is that good or is just admiration. Northwestern's undefeated. But Ohio State plays Maryland, and Michigan State plays Rutgers. You know, 2 teams added to the Big Ten. I feel like they'll win those games. I don't see anything else with the Big Ten teams. But I'm rooting for Charlie Strong to beat Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma's 4-0, man. People are not looking at Bob Stoops right now because they know sooner or later Bob Stoops will be Bob Stoops and they'll lose a crazy game. And you'd be like, well, I told you, Oklahoma just ain't the same no more. How you feel about the games upcoming this weekend, Vance? What games are you looking at?
Well, as far as Oklahoma versus Texas, I don't think Texas has a chance. I mean, I just think that, you know, it's just not a good year for Texas football. And Oklahoma is a juggernaut. Oklahoma is one of the best teams in the nation right now. I mean, I just think Texas is up against it. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with the coach. But I do know they're going to lose, and they're going to lose bad this week. As far as any other games, really, there's not too many games. I'm really trying to see. I know LSU plays South Carolina. They were going to play in South Carolina, but the rain, since the flood, they moved the game to LSU. So it's like a home game. Well, it is a home game for LSU, so I think that's a victory. Alabama played Arkansas. Arkansas hadn't lived up to what their preseason hype was. Oklahoma State plays West Virginia in the Big 12. Man, that's a game that, you know, you can see who Oklahoma is going to battle for the Big 12 championship, probably in that game right there. Other than that, Miami plays Florida State. That's always a big rivalry. Miami 3-1, Florida State is 4-0. I'm looking for Florida State to win that game, too. And then California plays Utah. and both of these teams are 5-0. Well, Utah is 4-0. California is 5-0. It's a little under the radar, you know, because we stay in the Eastern Time Zone, so we don't really know what's going on out west. But these teams have been playing pretty good, so I would like to see who comes out ahead in that game too.
Well, I seen one or two of Utah's game, and they're a tough team, and they put the smack down on Oregon, and they gave Michigan a hell of a game. I try to pay attention to West teams, and I heard about Cal being really good. I just haven't seen them yet. I'm going to give my eye test this weekend. They're going to be on TV, and I really can't tell by a team until I get my eye test. And even with Alabama playing Arkansas this weekend, even when Alabama was playing Ole Miss got a couple of fluke plays. That's how they won that game. But I always thought that Alabama was one of the best teams this year. And, I mean, regardless of how I feel about the SEC and their quarterback play, man, as a whole, Alabama has a strong team. Everybody has a role to play. They remind me of a college version of Seattle. You know, not so much they have a Russell Wilson, but everybody plays their part. Everybody has a role. If you don't make a mistake and we don't make a mistake, we grind it out and we win games. That's how they play. And you got to get Nick Saban to do it. I mean, he'll get some time with the position players and he'll let those players make plays. But, hey, all he wants his quarterback to do is manage the game. Do what I ask you to do. Don't do more than what you're capable of. Like, if you can't fly, I don't want you jumping off no building. But that's the best thing I feel about the SEC right now. Like you got Alabama, and everybody needs to be back in Alabama because ain't no other team in that conference, I feel, besides Texas A&M, that when it comes down to the final four teams in the playoff time, that's going to be able to last and play in the championship game outside of Alabama.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, like I said, you got LSU sitting there, and like you said, Texas A&M, if you can't stop the run against LSU, you're not going to stop them. Now, they don't have any passing game, but you know, the quarterback, he's a game manager. But Fournette, he's a bad boy, so I can see LSU running the table and win. But, you know, LSU hadn't played Alabama yet, and you know they got to play them, so we'll see what happens in that game.
Okay. Now we're going to transition. We're going to head back to the NFL. Now I got some information, then we're going to move on to the games coming up. All right, Van, information. So, Rodney White, you know how I feel about Rodney White right now. I do not like Rodney. Rodney White had that talk with the coaches trying to figure out his role because if you notice, Rodney White ain't done nothing in a very long time. Ever since Hard Knocks, when he was talking all that trash about how good he's going to play this year and got injured, last year, he ain't been the same, man. Rodney White ain't been the same in a very long time. And his role is nothing. To me, his role is nothing. And I just can't deal with Rodney White. Dolphins fired the head coach. You know, I'm a Brian Hill supporter. I know you're not. But they fired their coach, and then they fired their defensive coordinator. From what I hear, the defensive players didn't believe in the defensive coordinator and his scheme. And, Philbin wasn't an inspirational coach. He wasn't the guy that you could back. And the comments that are coming out and all the stories that are coming out about Dolphins practice and how Tannehill talking about telling the practice players, man, just enjoy your practice check. Don't try to play too hard around here. You know, your leader can't be that guy. Your leader has to push everybody to be great. And that's the whole point of being a leader. But couple stories, and the last one, man, and then you can pick which one you really want to talk about. The Hardy talking about he want to see Tom Brady wife. Why would you want to get Tom Brady fired? They have not been saying for weeks on end, you don't want to see Tom Brady right now. You don't want to see, and you're going to give him extra time? You're going to throw gasoline? You're going to put some dynamite in there? Then you talk about his wife, how pretty his wife is, and how pretty his sister-in-law is, and how you can't wait to see them. Do you know who your quarterback is right now? Brandon Reed. What are you doing, Hardy? You just got back. You just got back. Killing me, man. He's killing me.
Yeah, I think he should have kept his mouth closed because Tom Brady's on the road right now. But, you know, the man can say what he want to say. If he want to look at Tom Brady's wife, he think Tom Brady's wife look good, he can say it. But that's probably a bad choice this week, though. I probably wouldn't have said it this week. I probably would have been after the game I would say that. But, you know, you talking about Ronnie White. Ronnie White, he just like you said, he just fell off. After he got injured, he has never been the same. He's just a blocker now, and his role has diminished, and he think he that player, you know, that like that guy in the gym who still think he can ball and score 30 points a game, and he can't do nothing, but, you know. It's over with. It's over. It's time to give it up to the young cats. I mean, he is the all-time league receiver in yards, and I think catches too, but his time is over. It's Julio Jones' time now. I mean, maybe he can get some catches because Julio Jones getting double and triple teams. But as far as being the main man, running right, he's just not the main man no more. I know it's hard to accept it. It's always hard to accept it, but sometimes you have to.
Man, I'm in shock, man. I'm in shock by a lot of this. Greg Carter, you just got back. You just got back. It just boggles my mind. But some games I'm looking forward to this weekend, man. I can't focus on Greg Carter. Eagles, Saints, Packers, Rams. A lot of people say Packers, Rams, and I feel like this is going to be a big game. It's a Monday night game, and I'm really not always interested in Monday night game because they never put up a good matchup. But Steelers versus Chargers. Phillip Rivers, man, I like him. He's a fiery guy. He stays motivated. And I can't wait to see that light show. I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game. I can't wait to see that light show. But I'm really interested in seeing the Saints versus the Eagles. Man, they both fight for some of the Eagles trying to get themselves together. The Saints trying to figure it all out in NFC South, which I will admit, I've been down on the NFC South before the season started. I said it was the worst division in football. I said that Falcons were going to be sucky, and because they don't have no leadership and have no toughness and how they turn off like a light switch, but they're 4-0. Panthers are 4-0, and the Saints are not playing well. Doesn't make sense. I think the Saints are 2-2. But it doesn't matter.
Going to
all that matters.
Yeah, going to.
Huh?
You was talking about the NFC South. Going to NFC South, you got the Panthers at 4-0, and you also have Atlanta at 4-0.
That's what I said.
Yeah. But, you know, you have teams like the Saints and Tampa Bay who's struggling. But, you know, everybody knew Tampa Bay was going to struggle. You didn't think the Saints were going to struggle like this. But you didn't think
Carolina. Not at 1-3. I said they were 2-2. They were 1-3.
Yeah.
But listen, I was down on the NFC South. But,
yeah,
I mean, they're a little deeper than I thought. The rest of the conferences are playing out, especially NFC East and the NFC West. I mean, right now, they have two teams that are 4-0. I mean, two teams that are really playing tough. I thought the NFC North was going to come at least two or three teams maybe to make the playoffs. I thought it would be a stretch for Minnesota to make the playoffs, but I thought Green Bay and Detroit, but Detroit is 0-4. You know, so, you know, the NFC South is really looking good. They're killing it right now. You got to give them the props. And I'm here. I always say, hey, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I want to see that Saints-Eagles game. I think that's going to be real interesting. Now, the Packers-Rams, the reason I say the Packers-Rams, Rams have one of the best front seven in football. We are now watching one of the great, great quarterbacks of, man, cerebral assassins. You might as well just start calling him. I'm not going to call him Michael Jordan like other people call him. The cerebral assassin, Aaron Rodgers. He breaks you down before the play even, snaps it. He knows what you're doing before you even do it. And right now, I mean, he's a savant. So you have to enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan. But Aaron Rodgers is a monster, man. And how you feel about those couple games right now that I got listed, circled on my calendar?
Well, the last game you was talking about, the Green Bay and Ram game, like you said, I want to see it because I want to see how does Rams, how is Ram defense going to play against the great Aaron Rodgers? I would say he is a great quarterback. I mean, like you said, he is cerebral. He hasn't thrown an interception all year. I'm not trying to jinx him or nothing, but he's 11 touchdowns, no interceptions for 995 yards. I mean, he just all around, he making players that was cut look better. James Jones has 4 touchdowns, I think, right now. The running game looking okay. Eddie Lacy, you know, he stayed injured, but they run the game. They run the ball good enough. And I just think that, I really think that Green Bay team in the league right now. The other games you were talking about, what the game you say the Saints and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I really just think both of their seasons are over with. I think even if one team wins this week, they're not playing good enough right now to sustain it. So I think that, you know, just pack it up and wait for next year to the year in the draft, Laura, because they will be in the top a couple of picks. I'm surprised you missed your favorite team, though, the Redskins.
I feel like Atlanta's going to put on a show, man. With Jordan Reed out, with DeSean Jackson not playing, and maybe even Pierre Garçon being limited because he has knee issues, I really don't see them putting up enough points to beat Atlanta.
But the one thing I do want to see in this game, I think Atlanta's going to win, but the one thing I do want to see, that the Redskins have one of the top rushing run-stop defense in the league this year. I think they're second. And I want to see what Freeman going to do against that defensive line. That is one thing I do want to see in this game. But other than that, I think Atlanta going to win hands down. Another game that I'm surprised you didn't mention was Seattle and the Bengals. The Bengals are 4-0. Seattle goes to the Bengals and play. I wonder what you think. Who's going to win that game?
I really feel that if Seattle defense can come together, then they can win the game. But if the Bengals will keep scoring like they've been scoring, the Bengals are on the run. I like Andy Dalton. I like what him and AJ doing right now. They are bonding on another level on the field. It's a beautiful thing when a good quarterback, and I'm not gonna call him great, he's a really good quarterback, and a great wide receiver get together. It could be lights out. But you would love to see a great wide receiver with a great quarterback. That would be beauty. Like, imagine Hopkins with a Tom Brady or with a great quarterback, with any type of quarterback. It's like seeing Jerry Rice with Joe Montana, just beauty on the field. Like, you don't know what they're doing. And to a point, they're playing on a high level where they don't even know. They don't even know what precedent they're setting because they're just dominating so much together. Like, they know each other so well. They know, you know, throw it over the back shoulder when I'm on this side of the field. Listen, when great players come together and play well, it's a beauty. But Russell Wilson has to look at some tapes of Tom Brady throwing it to Gronk, because if he don't figure out how to get the ball to Jimmy Graham, they won't even make it to the playoffs.
Well, I feel like even if they do lose this game, they're going to make the playoffs. I feel like, you know, Seattle has been through it. I mean, it'll be 2-3 if they do lose this game. And then they play in the West. I mean, you got Arizona out there. You have 49ers who are now playing the well. The Rams, you know, they already lost to the Rams just once this year. But I think that they will, you know, make the playoffs. I mean, I just don't see them losing that many more games. Maybe 4 or 5 games this year. They don't get in the playoffs, and they probably make it to the NFC Championship game, I think, to play Green Bay again. I don't know. Right now, I'm not saying that Green Bay is going to win. I'm leaning toward Green Bay because of where they're playing right now. But you can't count out Seattle, so we got to give Seattle some more time. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be some good games this weekend. I'm excited. But, Vance, we got to move to something more serious now, man, before we get to the NBA. DraftKings and FanDuel, there was employees at DraftKings that played FanDuel using their analytics and their numbers to see who percentages people are using for their fantasy team, for their fantasy lineups. And there are people at FanDuel using their analytics and the numbers that they've seen, the data they know about players being owned by certain people. Because if you play DraftKings, you probably play FanDuel to a degree. I play FanDuel, I don't play DraftKings. But the percentage of players, they knew if you got a lower percentage player and he plays well, that everybody's not owning, you jump up in the rankings, you move up. Because everybody's normally playing the same type of players except a few here and there. Well, they were making money off of it. They weren't playing their own companies. They were playing the opposite companies. They're both based in New York. They're both not that far from each other to a degree. And they really have caused an uproar in fantasy sports betting around the country and around the world, period. More than anything, this is the government's getting involved. People are getting involved. I heard today there was a class action lawsuit filed against DraftKings and FanDuel. And you just hope that, you know, that it doesn't go further. Like, for us for the NFL, NHL, MLB, because the MLB got a stake in DraftKings, these companies, to a point, like the presidency or people getting voted in office or Congress, they have been vetted. They have been thoroughly vetted because these professional organizations don't want to be associated with a gambling ring or something that was done illegally, because this is so. These are the only two companies that are based out of the United States that can get taxed and other stuff that can happen to them that are not based in like the Caribbean or some places where you can't be extradited. So for these two companies to have this issue right now, when the NBA, NFL, NBA have started that. Let them do advertising on their shows, on NFL Countdown, on the logos, on the board in front of the court before you check into the game. It's just not a good look right now. In layman's terms, it's just not a good look for these associations to be. I mean, these organizations to be associated with these two companies as this go on. Now they say they want them. Too big. You hope that the tunnel don't go further. Like Alice in Wonderland, you don't want to see what's further down that tunnel. But hopefully, there's only a few employees that were doing that. Hopefully, it doesn't go further. That it was more negligent that they did it longer than what we thought they did. Vince, you got anything to say about FanDuel and DraftKings?
Yeah, I got a couple things to say about it. It was reported that they. You know, FanDuel has paid out over $2 billion in winnings since they've been, you know, doing it. So they're saying 3% of their winnings has come to employees of DraftKings. That's roughly like $10 million. And it's between 50 people. So it's like 200, you know, if you divide it even, it's like $250,000 each person. So, you know, you got to look at if you're playing FanDuel and you was close to the money, but a person who worked at DraftKings playing FanDuel, they going to beat you out. So you could have won some money, but they won the money. And like you even said to me earlier, what if they let some of their friends know and some of their friends know? But now you're giving all this information out. And you really, the average Joe don't have the information. So they're going to lose every time. And they said the same people was winning all the time on FanDuel. So most of those people probably work for DraftKings. Now, I don't know about the FanDuel employees playing DraftKings. That may be true. I mean, I don't know anything about that. I do know about DraftKings. Employee playing FanDuel, and I think that's wrong, and they should have had some in place of saying that they couldn't play any sites, you know, because they work for those.
That should have been a rule when you became part of that company. I don't understand why the rule wasn't in place before. That made no sense. Like if you work for the NBA, you can't gamble. Like if you're a referee in the NBA, you can't go to casinos and gamble. Like. There's rules when you join an organization of like that because you don't want to be corrupted. You know, you're pure. You can't have no cranberry juice or no red mark on your white sheets or your white towel or anything, or your white shirt. You don't want nothing damaging that beautiful white linen or that beautiful white shirt or those beautiful white pants. You know, and once it's tainted, it's hard to get it out. And it's hard for people not to look at it and keep painting like, yo, don't wear it no more. They got a spot on it. And you don't want spots on your professional organization. And I know the MLB and NBA, NFL are really coming down on these companies and making sure, hey, you clean this. You clean this up. You don't want this to touch up. But yeah, the class action lawsuit that was filed, I think, this week. So we'll see how far that goes. Normally when those class action lawsuits, people start signing up for that. Not everybody gets the cut that they thought they were going to get. You may get $20 or whatever, but you just hope that this don't keep continuing in the, to overlap and keep things to be said, and then more information comes out about it may have been longer than a month and a half or longer than that, but the rules should have been in place when you join that company. Common sense would say, once you start working for us, you're going to have information that other people don't have, so we can't allow you to gamble on other fantasy sites or gamble on our fantasy site. I know a lot of companies that say they're not allowing their employees to gamble on their site, but you can't even allow them to gamble on other sites because you have so much information, so much inside information that it makes it hard for it to be fair to the regular Joe when you say this is fair, this is just, this is for everybody's on an equal playing field, because we're not. You have some information I would never become privy to. And until it becomes even, until you figure it out, then no, you cannot play. Because you're privy to information that you and me or Vince, we don't know. We just don't know how many people are playing this person. Well, only 2% are playing Hill or Freeman, Devontae Freeman. And everybody's playing Arian Foster. I'm just giving you an example. Like 50% of people playing Arian Foster and 2% playing Devontae Freeman. But if 50% of people playing Arian Foster and he has a big game, then everybody's scoring that. Then those 50% of the people are scoring those points. Then the money gets spread out then. But if Devontae Freeman has a really, really good game and just a different number, then only that 2% jumps up higher than the people who had that 50%, because Devontae Freeman had a way better game, but only 2% on him. And even though y'all might be closer, he may air him out by a little bit. And you may lose money. You may lose money. And that's the whole point. If y'all saying it's fair and it's just for everybody, then we found out it's not. You're changing something that we believe that you said it was true.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I think that, you know, I think everybody who has played on FanDuel needs to be in that lawsuit. I don't care if you don't get, like you say, but $20. It's still, you need to get something out of it because you never know how much you would have won. So I don't blame people for filing a class action suit against them. Hope they see some kind of money. Ian.
But, you know, we just hope everything works out. And just another NBA news, man. I'm a fan of the NBA, and we both are. The season's about to come up, but I'm going to keep it in the lane of series, man. The NBA players have done more the union has done more to help retire players and benefits and health packages as they retire. But they also are doing, like, now they're adding the union's intent to provide cardiac screening for retired players because of the death they had the most in the long. You know, it could have been prevented. His death could have been prevented with the right health resources, and it wasn't. And that's the sad part about Moses Malone, that this all could have been prevented in Durodoc. Like, this all could have been prevented. These guys dying at the age they are dying at, 60. I mean, my dad's 71. And if you don't have the right coverage or you don't pay attention to it enough, especially at the sizes that these guys are, like 6'10", 6'11", 280 now. Like, they're retired. They ain't bad. They ain't basketball shape no more. They're older, they're a little heavier. So their heart takes a lot more punishment now more than ever because you're adding all that weight and they got to pump more blood faster to those organs. So you just hope that, you know, that organization, especially, you know, when you're in the league, you ain't thinking about your health. And when you're in any type of sport, in the NFL, NBA, NHL, but you hope that the union is thinking not only about their future at that point when the collective bargaining is going around, but the future of them as they get older. And I like the NBA union because they think ahead. They don't think about themselves. They do think about themselves. They are selfish to a degree, you know. And what organization would, the owners are selfish. Everybody wants the money. No one wants to share. But to think about the players that are retired and the players that are struggling health-wise and need more health insurance, a better health insurance than what they're given after they retire, it's a beautiful thing to see players helping former players out.
Yeah, it is a good thing that they are trying to look out for. Like you say, NBA always trying to do something that's helping their former players out. And I think it is a good thing that they are looking, trying to look out for other players. Like you said, they gain weight, overweight. When they was playing, they was in shape. You don't have to worry about seeing a doctor because somebody always ticking on you. But now that you're out of the game, you know, you just do what you want to do. Eat how you want to eat. And some of these players are not taking care of themselves. So I think it's a good idea that they start looking after them people, even, you know, because they have made their money over the years. So, you know, you got to take care of who take care of you. So I think it's a great job in the NBA trying to do that.
Yeah. Also, man, we got, you know, I like staying in a serious lane, man. That's Matt Barnes, man. So, man, it's rumor is, I'm not going to say, but, I mean, it's been speculated and probably true more than anything else. Matt Barnes drove 95 miles when he heard that his ex-wife and former teammate, Derek Fisher, were hanging out at the house. One of the kids said something, called Daddy, like, Daddy, Derek Fisher at the house hanging with Mommy, you know. And you can't look at the kid wrong, you know. The kid don't know right from wrong. Daddy probably told him, hey, the man at my house, you let me know. And you can't blame the kid because he probably was told this before. So I'm not going to put the blame on the kid. Or any factor for that matter, but man, he drove 95 miles to confront his ex-wife and fight Derek Fisher because he's hanging out with your wife. Now I understand, yo, you and Fisher should be teammates. That should be an unwritten rule. Don't touch your ex-wife or whatever. But you moving on, he moving on. You saying you did it to Rihanna, but to drive 95 miles, man, what are you listening to? Driving 95 miles to confront your wife about a man she hanging out with.
Head bustle. That's what you listen to about a little bit. So she's trying to bust her head. But, you know, driving, I mean, ex-wife, you know, that's the part. I see if they were still married, you know, but your ex-wife, going that far to check somebody about your ex-wife, that's what gives me. I mean, the marriage didn't work out. You thought she was going to, you know, with nobody want her. I mean, she's a nice-looking girl. Somebody going to try to mess with her. Now, it's bad when you know the person who messed with her, but you really can't do nothing about it because even if you stop her from messing with him, she's still going to mess with somebody else. But what will that be? You out here, like you say, they were saying he was fooling Rihanna. I mean, there was reports about Matt Barnes cheating on her the whole time that was why they were together. So I think you just got to charge to the game.
My point is that, and then you spit in the face. Rumor has that he spit in the face. And Derek Fisher held his own. He wasn't no punk. He didn't go out like a punk. But to be fighting in front of your kid and over a woman you're not with no more, and if you drove 95 miles, you shouldn't have spit in the face. That ain't going to help you get her back. I don't like violence. I'm not condoning this at all. I'm speaking to a point to where if it's over, it's over. You got to move forward. And you can't be driving 95 miles and the NBA is not going to allow you because the NBA is investigating this. They're not going to allow you to fight coaches. You know, there's a way of doing things, and that wasn't the right way. And I know Matt Barnes got to be this tough guy, and now that he's with Memphis, he's gonna be a really tough guy. But you gotta have some type of mental state that says, "Yo, this is wrong. I shouldn't be driving that." And this is your 95-mile drive. Something should have clicked. Maybe I should turn around, or maybe I should call her. Like, "Yo, what's up? What's happening at the house?" You know. But in the midst of the 95 miles, you didn't do none of that. You came there ready to fight, ready to bump, in front of the kids, in front of the friends, in front of everybody else. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like I said, Matt Barnes said, let's do it one. So he can
not when you spit in her face.
Still, he's one.
Because you spit in my face, that means somebody got to die.
So what's the done deal? You're right. It's over with.
Somebody's life got to be taken. Either yours or either mine, but somebody's life has got to be taken when you spit in somebody's face. But, man, it's been a good show, man. We got serious at the end, man. You know, serious. It got deep. You know, sometimes we got to go deep. We can't just get, you know, all fun and games.
Yeah, it's the first time for everything, though.
First time for everything. All right, man. See you next week. We'll do this again.
Oh yeah, we do it again next week.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. You know, we appreciate everybody on the show. Listen to us. Tell your friends about us. Tell your homegirls about us. Tell your mom. Tell your sisters. Tell your cousins. You know, just spread the word about the sports fiends, man. All right. Appreciate love. Peace, everybody.
All right. We out.
Mm-hmm.